Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. Today is episode number 38 for Wednesday, February 1st, 2023. And as usual, this show is sponsored by TLBTalk.com, where you can go to say what you know needs to be said, but nobody's letting you say it. Today's show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts. The title of today's show is Flying the Friendly Skies. Not. Let me repeat that. Flying the Friendly Skies. Not. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. I say it every week. It's a point that needs to be driven home because it's something that, I don't know, seems to be exacerbated a little bit more each week. This show airs live weekly on Shake and Wake Radio, our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlow Radio. Listen to me. I say it every week. I will cut it short this week because I've got a lot to put out. We have a guest in the second half hour of the show today. If you can do a monthly reoccurring donation, take what you normally figure, what you normally average over the course of a year, divided by 12. Next time you go in to do a donation, type that number in and click the box that says make this a monthly donation. Why? It gives them something they can count on. It gives them a budget they can use to grow the platform, to give you bigger, badder, better, faster. If you want to see the platforms you listen to improve, give them a budget they can count on. How are you doing today, Stephen? Steven, you with us?
Yes, I am. I was in a call. Sorry about that. Doing good today.
All right. Okay. So our mission is to keep you armed with the vital truths and to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. And that being the sponsor of the show, again, TLBTalk.com. Go there, say the things you know need to be said. Information put out on today's show will be included in an article tomorrow on the LibertyBeacon.com, and that gets published prior to noon Central every single Thursday. So go to the LibertyBeacon.com, look for the big eagle on the slideshow, click on that slide. It will take you to this article and everything we discussed today. You will be able to follow links to show you exactly where I got my information from. So let's get down to business. I would like to let everybody know that in the second half hour of the show today, we will have a discussion with a TLB contributing author and writer, Joseph H. Lenard. And he's authored two books, Terror Strikes and How to Write a Book and Get It Published. So that will be an interesting discussion, and that comes after the half-hour break. Prior to that, I've got some information I need to put out. I think it's something everybody needs to hear, especially if, and if you remember, I have told you over and over again, so you probably do remember what I did for a living. I worked for Raytheon. I worked on military equipment across the entire planet. I traveled outside of this country between 70 and 80% of every year for just about 20 years. I have a lot of air miles. I spent a lot of time on airliners. Okay? I'm also going to tell you that a big chunk of the show today comes once again from Dr. Mercola. It surprises me some of the things that he puts out. It's not everything we're going to talk about today, but there are some great points, so I do like giving credit where credit is due. So let's start this all off with a question. Oh, and by the way, the article from Mercola that I did take the pieces and parts from will be in that show article tomorrow. All right, the question I want to start off with is just how many will die needlessly before we stop trusting our complicit government agencies? No, I'm not stretching the truth. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm giving you the facts. How much is our government, you know, the ones who work for us, you know, the ones we elect or pay their salaries, how much are they knowingly hiding from us that could at some point become lethal to we the people? Okay, The damn shots are not safe and effective. I wish to hell people would stop saying that. There is unequivocal and massive amounts of proof showing these shots are anything but safe and effective, but it's still being stuffed down your throat every time you look away. You look back, somebody's going to tell you, take the shot, it's safe and effective. That's the biggest lie of this century. Okay? And when you talk about the death and destruction and harm and people harmed for life all across the planet and growing on a daily basis, how the hell anybody with a conscience can look at you and say, take the shot, it's safe and effective? One of two things has occurred. Either you've met one of the stupidest people you've ever met in your life, or you've met one of the biggest liars you've ever met in your life. There is no in-between ground, people. There isn't any in between ground. Okay? I've been shouting this, literally shouting it, y'all know that, for over 2 years. And what have I been called? I've been called an idiot. I've been called a liar. I've been called a fearmonger. I've been called, but yet everything comes around to today, where now we have doctors, one after another, researchers, and even some politicians standing up to say, we really screwed up because these shots are not safe and effective, and they're harming massive amounts of people across the entire planet. Let's get into something that you haven't heard a lot about. Let's get into something that would have affected me massively with what I was doing 20 years ago, traveling the globe on a continuous basis, and something a lot of you will do in the summer or around the holiday seasons. Okay? What was the name of the show or the title of the show? Flying the Friendly Skies. Not. And I mean that. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, requires first-class airline pilots to receive an electrocardiogram, an EKG, starting at the age of 35 and continuing annually after the age of 40. EKGs record the heart's electrical activity to provide a measure of the heart's health, and certain parameters must be met in order for a pilot to be deemed fit to fly. Okay, this happened on October 24th, 2022. We are already in February of 2023. But on October 24th, 2022, the FAA changed the EKG requirements necessary for pilots who fly, but not to make it safer. With no public announcement or explanation, they didn't tell you a damn thing. The agency expanded the allowable range for the PR interval, which is part of that EKG, a measure of the heart function. Widening this parameter means that those with potential heart damage, disease, or injuries are now allowed to fly commercial aircraft, potentially putting all of their passengers at risk should they suffer a heart attack or other event while they're in the air. Why would the FAA make such a drastic and risky move without even telling you? Without telling the public? This should have been a massive announcement across all of mainstream media. But you didn't hear a peep. You heard nothing. Okay? Why? Well, let's take it one step further. COVID shots may very well have damaged the pilot's hearts. Not a joke. Steve Kirsch, executive director of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation, made the following points. They didn't widen the range a little. They widened the range for the EKG acceptability a lot. It was done after the vaccine rollout. This is extraordinary. They did it hoping nobody would notice, and it worked for a while. Nobody really caught it. But you can't hide these things forever. This is a tactic admission from the U.S. government that the COVID vaccine has damaged the hearts of our pilots. Not just a few pilots, a lot of pilots, and a lot of damage. Okay. This guy also gives five reasons why he's confident these widened parameters were necessary due to the widespread heart-damaged pilots and the U.S. public experienced due to COVID-19 shots. In other words, we've got to make it so that the range that is acceptable for a pilot, as far as his EKG, as far as the weakness or the possible problems with his heart, a wider range of acceptability in order to keep the planes flying. But what about if we've got heart-damaged pilots full of on flying planes full of people, and all of a sudden they have heart attacks? And you were told nothing about this. How many people fly over the course of a year globally? Because remember, these vaccinations, and they're not vaccinations, these jabs were global. The amount of people that have been vaccinated on this planet so far exceeds 6 billion. How many of those are pilots? And how many pilots were allowed to fly if they were not fully vaccinated? A massive majority of all commercial pilots had to be fully vaccinated or they were not allowed to fly. Okay. This guy also gives five reasons why he's confident these widespread parameters were necessary due to the widespread heart damage from the COVID-19 shots. He says they didn't widen the range a little. They widened it a lot. It was done after the vaccine rollout. And we know this. The five reasons, well, we're going to get into them. Okay. I believe it is because they knew if they kept the original range for the EKGs, too many pilots would have been grounded. That would be extremely problematic. Commercial aviation in the U.S. would have been severely disrupted, and in many other, especially first world countries across the planet. But we're talking about FAA rules now, okay? And why did they do that quietly without notifying the public or telling the mainstream media? Or did they tell the mainstream media, and just like Hunter Biden's laptop, they tucked it away, never for you to hear it? I want to ask you a question. If you guys knew, everybody listening to this, for a fact that all of these pilots, any one of them, could suffer a heart attack or myocarditis in flight, any one of them, and it's already happened, okay? And they're all fully vaccinated, and you had a choice of driving 800 miles or flying, which would you pick? Which would you pick? I'm pretty sure they won't tell me, so I'll speculate. It's because they didn't want anyone to know. In other words, the COVID vaccine has seriously injured a lot of pilots, and the FAA knows this. And they said nothing because that would tip off the country. That would tip off the whole country as to what? How ineffective or dangerous the vaccines were. Oh, my God. Are you serious? No, that can't be true. All right. Now, let's talk about this. Let's go over the 5 points, all right, that this guy put together to give you an idea as to why he believes the vaccines are responsible for the widening of the parameters for these EKGs. Five factors suggest that pilots' worsening heart health is due to COVID-19 shots and not COVID-19, which is what we were told. It's the COVID-19 that's messing with these people. No. The change in EKG parameters was made quietly. If it was COVID, you can bet they would have said this with a megaphone. But the vaccines are supposed to be safe and effective. So that was kept hush. The timing of the change in October of 2022, which, excuse me, is later than it would have been if COVID-19 were to blame. If it were due to COVID, it would have happened well before then. And they can actually make changes every single month. Again, if COVID was causing this, they belt out every time. They want you to believe that COVID is responsible for something else evil, for something else that's going to kill you, for something else that's going to kill your children, for a reason why you've got to lock yourself in your house, for a reason you've got to lose your job, for a reason your kids are committing suicide because they have no social life. They have no problems telling you if something is associated with COVID. Did they tell you that? No. What did they do with this information? They hid it. Hid it. The widespread injuries. The vaccine creates far more injury to the heart than COVID ever did. For instance, an Israeli study of adults who did not get a COVID-19 shot but did get COVID-19, found the infection was not associated with myocarditis or pericarditis. None of it. But the shots were. Anecdotal reports from cardiologists about heart damage began post-shot. Many sudden deaths, many, have been reported post-shot, not pre-shot. So here we go. All of this is sitting right in front of us. So instead of telling you, be careful, if you can drive, drive, if you can take a train, because this is an existing condition. Every one of the pilots on every commercial plane you're going to get on were forced by mandate to be fully vaccinated. And there is a massive number of them who are showing signs of increasing heart conditions to the point where we had to expand the parameters for their yearly EKGs in order to keep them flying. In other words, we're going to make your life, put your life in danger so that we can keep more pilots in the air, and it's not going to hurt our airline company. This isn't a joke. What I'm telling you is an absolute fact. How many trolls and shills out there are going to come after me tomorrow saying all I did was scaremonger? Basically, that means you're not supposed to know what I'm saying. And very few people have said anything about it up until now. So basically, a vast majority of you don't know about this. Well, that's why the Liberty Beacon Project is here, and that's why Eagle's Eye Report is here. Have I got that right, Stephen?
Yes, sir. I was going to say about the – Annie asked what about the people driving trains. I was going to type it out, but I can say it, hopefully. They have an automated button.
Yeah.
They have an automated button every – they have to hit a button every 30 seconds. Otherwise, the train will will be instructed by the people at headquarters to slow down and stop.
And basically that to me sort of eliminates that from this scenario, but leave it to Annie to ask a perfect question. Thank you, Annie. Okay, what's the bottom line here? The most logical conclusion is that the FAA knows the hearts of our nation's pilots have been injured by the COVID vaccine, and they are all fully vaccinated or they would not be flying those planes. Okay. They were coerced into taking these shots. The number of pilots affected is huge. The cardiac damage is extensive, and passenger safety is being compromised by the lowering of standards to enable pilots to continue flying so the airline companies aren't losing money. Your life is being put on the line so that these airline companies aren't losing money.
I just thought of something else, Roger.
Sure.
All of these pilots and people that retired or quit before they were forced to get these experimental jabs, they should offer to come back, but for double the money.
I would say for a cool like $250,000 to $500,000 lump sum to walk back in the door.
Well, the captains make about $250,000 a year anyways. Just their
base
pay. Yeah.
Just, yep. All right. Let me get through the rest of this. We got a guest coming up. And again, great input. And don't stop with those things, Steve. I appreciate it when you do that. The right thing would be for the FAA to come clean and admit to the American public that the COVID vaccine injured 20% or more of the pilots based on the limited EKG screening. But I doubt that this is ever going to happen. Okay. There's a pilot, and we're going to talk a little bit about this individual, who has already had a heart attack immediately following his shot. In May of 2022, the Epoch Times reported the case of Robert Snow, a pilot for American Airlines with 31 years of experience flying commercially and 7 years as a pilot in the U.S. Air Force. Snow does not have coronary disease in any way, shape, or form, but he suffered cardiac arrest about, listen to me, people, 6 minutes after landing a plane he flew from Denver to Dallas-Fort Worth. If that flight had been delayed in the air because of what was happening on the ground, by 5 to 6 minutes, he'd have had the freaking heart attack while that plane was airborne. This is what we're looking at. According to the news outlet, he believes that his cardiac arrest is connected to the COVID vaccine he was forced to take in order to keep his job. And that was on November 4th, 2021. Even though he already had, listen to me, even though he already had natural immunity from previously contacting COVID, he already had immunity. And he's not the only one with this suspicion. Many pilots have gotten a hold of him. Just pretty much tell him that their story pretty much, I don't know, parallels his. And that their feelings and that how they feel and that their heart and that the fact that they don't fit in the EKG limits that they used to fit in, but they fit into the expanded limits. How many of you out there listen to everything I just said? How many? Is Roger telling you don't fly? No. Is Roger telling you that every pilot out there is evil? No. You've got to remember, these pilots live a life of, I don't know, comfort, leisure. They make darn good money. They have big mortgages, fancy cars. All this has got to be paid for. They have families to support, so on and so forth. They needed to keep their job. Like a lot of military personnel, they were flat out told, you prove that you've been completely vaccinated, which is shot one, shot two, first, second, and third. All of these boosters. So you're talking a minimum of 4, most of them probably 5. I have told you over and over again that if you have had 3 shots, your immune system has been kicked to the curb. 4 shots, you ain't got one. 5 shots, forget about it. But at the same time, each and every one of these shots increases the stress to the heart, cardiovascular. And the EKG is probably the quickest and easiest way to spot this, especially via a mechanism like, I don't know, the airlines, where every single pilot over the course of a year who's over 40 years old needs to have an EKG every single year. So over the last 2 years, a lot of pilots have stepped up. And what did they see? Well, these pilots aren't fitting into the EKG parameters anymore. We're going to lose a whole lot of pilots. Well, we don't want to do that. Why don't we just broaden the spectrum, just a little bit, the parameters, so that they fit in. We don't have to tell anybody. But every time you broaden that spectrum, because that Those parameters were set for a reason. Anything within that is considered healthy. Anything outside of that could be questionable all the way up to detrimental or deadly. So what did they do? They went from what they knew was healthy, what they had been using for years and years because that was proven to be healthy. And they broadened that spectrum and they didn't tell you a damn word. Nothing. How many of you want to bet that if a commercial plane goes down and those pilots, a pilot and a co-pilot, if hopefully the co-pilot is in the cockpit when the pilot has a freaking heart attack, okay? How many, what's going to happen if one of those go down? Are they going to tell you that it's because of the shot? Are they going to tell you it's because we expanded the parameters for the EKGs to allow known risks to fly your plane? Are they going to tell you they did that? How many of them do you think want to go to jail? How many of them do you think want to suffer retribution from the loved ones of the people who died in that plane? And this isn't going to get better, people. These things develop and get worse over time. That heart condition may start out being just, okay, it's pushing the EKG, but over the course of a year, it may turn into a heart attack. And how many of these pilots have been vaccinated? Damn near all of them! Do you understand why I'm raising my voice? This isn't about me making a show. It's about me telling you how I really feel about this. I spent most of my life flying all over this planet. If this had happened, this right now, what we're talking about had happened when I was doing that, I would have quit my job. I would have quit my job. Because the chances of me not surviving all of the flights I did every year, and I did a lot of them, was a hell of a lot higher than anyone listening to this show. I was on planes weekly, if not bi-monthly, at least all the time, flying everywhere. And I wouldn't have done it. Because I understand what I'm looking at. None of you were told this. None of you. This wasn't put out by the FDA. It wasn't put out by the CDC. It wasn't put out by the, what? FAA. Nobody told you this. They took the EKG parameters from safety to not so safe. And nobody was supposed to be wiser except them. And of course, maybe some of those pilots who realize they're not feeling so well. This is one thing out of how many? I could do a show on an individual topic like this every week for the next 6 months and still have things to tell you. This is our government, people. This is our government, meaning we pay their salary. They work for us. When's the last time you had an employee that set up something within your company to make himself rich or to protect his wealth while making sure you were put in a situation where you could be dead tomorrow? How long would you put up with that? This is what you're looking at. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Everything you need will be in the article tomorrow, okay, on thelibertybeacon.com. I strongly suggest you look at it. I strongly suggest you, I don't know, write to your congressman. I strongly suggest you send an email to the FAA. I strongly suggest we let these people know we're irate, because the longer we sit back and do nothing, the more of this they're going to pull on us and get away with. Every time you get on a plane now, you're rolling the freaking dice. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. It's an absolute fact.
Are you ready for the break now, Roger?
I need to breathe. And when we come back, we'll bring Joe in. So maybe I can chuckle a little bit instead of wanting to shoot myself. Yeah.
All right, folks, we'll be back in about 60 seconds.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And as I promised, this half hour, we're going to be doing something a little bit more lighthearted. Roger's not going to be, I don't know, huffing and puffing so much. I've got a good friend here. His name is Joseph, and he is somebody who, I don't know, he writes well, and he shoots from the hip. This is somebody who you actually know what he's thinking and how he feels when he writes something, but he's also the author. He's not only a writer for the Liberty Beacon Project, he's got some great articles on there, but he also has authored two books, Terror Strikes and How to Write a Book and Get It Published. Okay, Joe, let me ask you a question. I can understand the first one, okay, when terror strikes. And I'm going to let you explain both of these. But the second one, I mean, you wrote a book, and then your next book is to help people know how to write a book and get it published? I love it. I love it. Start with your first book. Let's go through both of them. Okay.
Oh, sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah. And I have to make clear, I am Joseph M. Leonard, L-E-N-A-R-D. There's no O on it. It looks like Leonard, but it isn't. And before we go into my book, since you mentioned the Liberty Beacon, I've been writing there a few months now. Every weekend, a new piece comes out. And if you read anything, there are two good, really good ones to check out there. You can, you know, put Joseph M. Leonard in the search bar and find my George Santos for President 2024 piece, which is mostly tongue-in-cheek, but there's some serious thoughts in there also. But really, if you read nothing else from me, you got to read my flame-throwing, controversial piece called I Demand My Equity as a Male to Murder for My Convenience. Remember that one, Roger?
Who do you think grooms every one of your articles and make sure they look good for the whole world? Who do you think does that?
Yeah, I
remember it. Of course I do.
Yeah, I'm sure that one ruffled some feathers.
Well, you know what? Rustling feathers may be a good thing. Especially if it's the trolls and the shills who are getting rustled.
Yep. But yeah, Terror Strikes coming soon to a city near you. I've been writing my whole life. I've been involved in politics since 1978. I've been writing my whole life. My father was the founder of and leader of the Polka Kings, and you can still find their three albums out there. So I got the creative gene from that side of the family, and I dabbled in music for a while, but never got a record deal. So,
do you like polka?
Sure. Yeah, I like all genres of music, but I got to be in the mood for polka or classical.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm mainly a heavy metal, hard rock kind of guy.
Me too.
But, you know, if in the mood, I will listen to anything when I'm in the mood for it. But I never got a record deal, so I kept writing, but I'd only publish things on the local level. So Terror Strikes Coming Soon to a City Near You was my first internationally published book. So it's not like my first venture. And it hit number one Amazon political thriller bestseller. So, I'm really happy and proud that that happened. But I decided...
You don't know how much that cost me. I'm joking.
Yeah. Well, I decided I needed to take my political activism outside of Michigan. And Terror Strikes Coming Soon to a City Near You allows me to do that, because I like to say it's not a book about death, but of life and living, and those both foreign and domestic that want to deprive you of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's not just foreign terrorists. It's American fascocrats, as I call them, destroying Western culture from within. And that message needed to get to a wider, broader audience.
No. You hold on. I just did, and I know you probably didn't get a chance to listen to the first half hour. You were probably busy.
Yeah, I was on another podcast.
I just did an entire half hour where I'm talking about the United States government, okay, screwing us over by making all of the pilots who fly our commercial airliners more dangerous to us, because now that they've been fully vaccinated – are fully jabbed with the COVID, they are susceptible to heart conditions and heart attacks. So what did the FAA do in conjunction with these other, I don't know, government health agencies? They broadened the requirements for a EKG. In other words, you could be a lot sicker, your heart could be a lot weaker, and you could still pass the EKG and go and fly a plane. Otherwise, it would have been a lot of pilots who would have been grounded. Yep. This is all done, Joe, without telling any of us.
Exactly. And you'll notice all the world elites that flew their private jets to Davos, their pilots, they made sure were not vaccinated. So yes, their planes wouldn't fall from the sky because a pilot having a heart attack.
Okay. All right. Very good. Continue, please.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, you've got to promote a book after it's done. So I've been on various shows, and invariably, many of those shows, they would then say, well, will you come back and talk about just the writing and publishing process in general? So I had other irons in the fire, but I thought to myself, well, if all these people want me to come back and talk about that, there's obviously a market for a book about that. Hence, how to write a book and get it published, hints, tips, and techniques. And I even use a cheat that's in that book, from that book, taking podcasts I was on, having them transcribed, and that was ready-made material because we'd already discussed that. I cut and pasted that into the book and then expounded upon those thoughts. So I go through, and you can look. You can see on Amazon there are a bazillion different cheap books on how to publish on Amazon. Well, you know, that's just the technical behind the scenes garbage you could probably do for yourself and figure out for yourself. I wanted a book like the podcasters wanted me to discuss with them, from concept through the writing process, your publishing options, and post-publication marketing. What are your easiest, your free opportunities to market your book? And even there's a chapter on reviews, what to expect, because, you know, a lot of people may buy your book, but a whole lot of people really don't go back, and, you know, unless if they want to troll you, to leave a review. So there's a lot of people who like your book, but they don't go back onto the website like Barnes and Noble or Books a Million, especially Amazon. You can usually get a few reviews, but the other ones, they don't come on and review your book.
Hold on a second, because I want to back up something you said with a little story about you and I. Okay. Not too long after I met you, okay, we were talking about your book. And I had said to you, I had said, you know, Joe, I have written thousands of articles. And if you put all the words together, they far exceed the total number of words in the entire Encyclopedia Britannica set. And you said to me, you have the makings of a book.
A whole series.
You can take those articles, put them in some sort of a logical fashion, okay? One leading to the next, one story leading to the next, and you could end up with, and that's what you said, you could end up with several books. Well, I already told you, I've written thousands of articles, total wording probably exceeds the words in the entire Encyclopedia Britannica set, but we're talking about over 15 years writing at least 5 to 7 articles a week. So you put a spark in my head about, man, I could have a book too. And this is before I even knew you were going to write a book about writing books.
and exactly why I wrote the book. Exactly. Like someone like you who does articles, someone who does podcasts. You could take a podcast. Like I said, I use this cheat in How to Write a Book, Get It Published, Hints, Tips, and Techniques. Put them through an online transcriber. You know, you have to clean it up, but then you could cut and paste material into chapters, clean it up, add what has been missed. Since that show aired, you know, what may have changed, what may need to be discussed since then. Those are ready-made chapters. And then not only that, not everybody likes to write. Well, look at it like a tell-all. Now, I don't drop a bunch of names or anything like that. Not a tell-all from that sense, but a behind-the-scenes look. Maybe you know people who like writing. You could give a copy to them to inspire them to indeed publish a book, or perhaps you could. You're just curious. What goes on in the minds of an author, and what is the process to become published? So, How to Write a Book and Get It Published: Hints, Tips, and Techniques takes you through my journey of Terror Strikes Coming Soon to a city near you to publication. So a behind-the-scenes look book for you also.
Hold on a second. You're talking about what goes on in the minds of an author. From what I know of you and me, I would say we need to limit that. Because if we put out exactly what we truly think with all of the tyranny bubbling up all around us, we're going to find ourselves either 6 feet under or stuffed away somewhere where we're never going to see daylight again.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. Yeah. I said like a tell-all, but not quite a tell-all. Yeah. But
what I would like you to do, hold on. What I would like you to do, because your first book, okay, is it's kind of a fiction, but it's kind of paces reality. I would like you to go into that a little bit deeper. Why you wrote it, how it mimics reality, and at the same time, how it sets people up to succeed by what you wrote. So go into that book a little bit deeper, because I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing, but the pieces I've gotten to read so far are telling me that you did a pretty damn good job.
Yeah, it's again, I have been writing my whole life. So, you know, people may see it as, well, this person's first book. Well, it's not really. Right. It's a culmination of a lot of different things over many years. And it's actually historical fiction. It's part fact, part fiction. I call it faction, right? You know, it's a blend of fact and fiction. And the reason I do that is multi-purpose, because so few, and I wrote it to be generational. so that someone in high school could read it, a senior can read it, and everywhere in between, because our young kids aren't getting history, right? So, you know what?
Don't even get me started on that, please. Yeah. Look, hold on. Hold on, because you keep throwing these brilliant things at me, these ins. I'm going to tell you what I did, okay? I went to Walmart about 8 months ago, and some of you listening may remember me saying this. I went to Walmart, and as people walked in the door, especially the younger ones, meaning early college age or younger, I would ask them what type of government they have in America. And 99 out of 100 people immediately said a democracy. That's not true. But that's what they're being taught.
Oh, okay? Amen, brother.
Your point is brilliant.
Yeah, you know what? And we get to give an inside tease here. My piece for the Liberty Beacon for this coming weekend that should be up Saturday is called A Republic If You Can Keep It.
You stole that from me. I've written two articles by that title. One was about 6 years ago, and the other one was almost 12 years ago. So,
and it piggybacks on my article that's there called The Originalist Federalist, about our original Federalist compared to today's fascist Federalist. You can find that on the Liberty Beacon. That's the first piece I wrote for the Liberty Beacon, which was a rehash of an old Red State and Before Its News article. Some of the pieces I put up at Liberty Beacon are completely new, and others are kind of a revisitation and a reworking and an updating of a Red State piece from when I wrote back then.
Just do me a real quick favor, and everybody does this, and I'm not jumping on you. I'm just asking you to do something for me. This is TLB, okay? That is the initials. Most people know it as TLB. When people say, you know, at Liberty Beacon, it is not, because most people will go to a search engine and they'll type in Liberty Beacon, and there is another format out there, and they will be in the wrong place. It is the Liberty Beacon. If we don't put the word "the" in front of it,
right,
we're giving someone else's platform.
Yeah, absolutely right. TheLibertyBeacon.com. Absolutely.
TLB.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And TLB Talk. Also, we want to throw a shout out to TLB Talk. I'm on there at J. Leonard Detroit. Please look me up if you go on TLB Talk. And, you know, all of what we're talking about is in terror strikes. Again, it's not just about terrorism. Terrorism is the story driver thread. My main character, Martin, a Detroit newspaper man, decides to write a book on terrorism. So it's a book within a book. You've all heard and seen that story driver, you know, line of storytelling before. But what you've never ever seen before in a book before that we know of anywhere, because I'm a former IT guy and we're in the internet age, there's also a blog within a book. So you get a very different kind of writing style and a very different kind of book that deals with these issues of, yes, a republic, not a democracy. And American fascocrats, as dangerous as foreign terrorists trying to destroy our nation from within.
I have a question, real quick, for my co-host and my partner on this show. Stephen, anything you would like to put in the questions you would like to ask? You're being way too quiet for my
right here. I'm just sitting back listening and watching, enjoying.
I think he dozed off. Did you doze off? Did we wake you up?
No, I've been here. I did want to say, not so much a question, but a comment for Roger. If he did write a book the size of the Encyclopedia Britannica, it'd be 70,000 pages of Roger's rants.
Oh! There's your title. There's your title, Roger's Rant.
70,000 pages of Roger's Rant. There you go. You know why I've got this guy as a co-host and a partner on this show? Because he comes in with these strikingly just Absolutely. Yeah, I wish I would have said that thing.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. It's the new R's. I want to tie this to our schools and education, because terror strikes coming soon to a city near you deals with that too, the lack of education. It's Roger's rants on the Republic and Revolution, the four R's. Replacing the reading, writing, arithmetic, and history, because there's an R in there, that the left has replaced with radicalism, raunch, and racism through CRT. You know, they're getting all that crap in our schools rather than...
Radicalism, raunch, racism, and rat race.
Yeah.
Look, everybody listening to this, and yes, I'll let him continue, just give me a second. Everybody listening to this, I continuously tell you the day after Thursday, you will find this show embedded in an article on the Liberty Beacon. In that article, you will find a link to both of his books, as well as a short video on the first book, his terrorism book. So you will have everything you need to find out and to go and look at Joe's books and purchase them. And I strongly recommend you do. This guy is actually someone who does what he says. Oh, I know. That's like some ghost, some figure that nobody really knows anymore. But yeah, just like Steve, Joe actually fits in that category.
Yeah, you know, and this message is starting to resonate a bit more. And thankfully, the era of Trump has started to red pill some people, because there are deep state morons in both parties, obviously. But please don't spare me. There's no difference in the party's manure. I don't buy that crap. If you think there is no difference in the parties, go into your bathroom and look in the mirror and point the finger at yourself for not being involved enough. You need to be a GOP delegate so that we can get these rhinos and sinos out of the GOP and bring it back to the Republican, conservative, constitutionalist platform that it is founded as.
Wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that there are rhinos and conservatives out there, and that there are liberals and Democrats out there, and that in each party you have as much evil as between one and the next. So what you're trying to tell me is what I'm hearing more and more of every single day, a word I'm seeing more and more often every single day. It's called the Uniparty.
Yeah. Well, I do push back on that to some degree.
So do I.
And again, there are not the GOP nowhere near as bad as the fascocrats. Nowhere near. But yes, there are sinos and rhinos. And I've been involved in politics since 1978.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. You know, I helped fight to get Reagan elected. And it was the same in
so
part
I.
celebrity worship that got Reagan elected and Trump elected, but they were, you know, good, solid people otherwise that we needed. And again, if you're going to whine about the GOP, if you're not in there fighting, you're part of the problem. I've been fighting rhinos and sinos, conservatives in name only, every bit as hard as I've been hiding fascocrats since 1978.
What did Reagan and Trump both have in common? No, I'm not going to wait for you to give me an answer. What they both had in common is neither one of them grew up as a politician. Neither right. one of them grew up wanting to be a politician. Right. Neither one of them even considered it until a point in their life where they looked around and said, "This is ridiculous. I can take what I've made of myself, my name, and project a word that will help these people, and I'm going to do it."
And the same thing happened twice. They laughed at Ronald Reagan. "Oh, he's just an actor and a radio spokesman. He'll never get elected." Got elected in a landslide. Trump The only reason Trump got elected in 2016 is because of the same effect. They laughed at him, so they didn't get out their voter fraud machine like they did in 2008, 2010, 2012, 14, 18, 20, and 22. 2016, they laughed at Trump and said we didn't need the fraud, we were going to beat him, and he won in almost a landslide, too.
There's a little bit of difference in there, because if you take a look, and believe me, I wrote a lot of articles, did massive research, and did a lot of shows back then, you will find out that they did do a lot of cheating, the Dems. They did do a lot of vote rigging. The problem was Trump should have won by a much, much bigger margin.
Yeah.
But in the end, they totally underestimated how much Hillary was hated and how much Make America Great Again was admired. They underestimated it, and they literally fooled the liberal, the progressive machine. And Trump was not supposed to win.
Yeah, here's a reminder, too. Ronald Reagan also used the Make America Great Again slogan and the Morning in America slogan, but also, do you remember, and I know you do because you're astute, Bill Clinton tried to use Make America Great Again slogan too. So don't spare me this. MAGA is some racist bull and, you know, whatever. Clinton used it too, you morons.
Speaking of morons.
Clueless liberal snowflakes.
Okay, hold on. We have less than 5 minutes. I would like you, and I love that. Steve, didn't I tell you this would be much more light of heart? I may even get a chance to chuckle in the second half hour. Didn't I say that, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Didn't I? Oh, yes, okay. You did. And Ronald Reagan even used that term, too, Make America Great Again.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, listen, you have about 4.5 minutes. Take about 2 of those minutes, because I do have to do a wrap-up, and tell people where to go to find your books and anything else you would like to do to wrap up. And thank you for probably one of the most pleasant and fun half hours I've had on this show in a long time.
Yeah, well, like I always say, remember, things could always be better, but they could often be worse. And we have to keep a sense of humor. And one, obviously, you could go to thelibertybeacon.com and put Joseph M. Leonard, no O, it looks like Leonard, but Leonard, no O, in the search engine, find the articles. And as Roger says, there's a link at the bottom of each of my articles about my book. Or you could go to josephmleonard.us, L-E-N-A-R-D, josephmleonard.us, or my Terror Strikes book is terrorstrikes.info. And if you use promo code TLB at checkout at terrorstrikes.info/buy, you'll get 15% off an autographed copy, including free shipping, open only to U.S. households. So you can get a discount there for our TLB audience.
Well, look, I am very, very proud to have you as part of this project. I think every time you send me something, as soon as it appears, I think you probably just pull your watch out and start counting the seconds. He's going to call in 5, 4, three, two, ring, ring, ring. Yep. So I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of people giving us articles to publish, and they don't get nearly the reaction, because not that they're not great articles, they are. It's just that they are so, I don't know, by the book, so stringent. So there's nothing in there to break you out of the oh my God phase, where you can actually sit back and look and absorb this stuff. When you write, you not only write from fact, but you also write from experience and imagination. Which far too many shills and trolls today don't have.
And some humor, like the George Santos for President 2024. You got to read that piece, people. Yeah. And then there's another one about keeping a sense of humor in there, too. You got to be lighthearted at times. But, yeah, you've got to present in an imaginative and different way than the same old stale, dry stuff.
All right. Look, I want to thank you for being here. Steve, we about done here?
Yes, sir, pretty much.
Okay, let me say to everybody, this has probably been one of the most pleasant half hours I've spent. And it's not that I don't like my shows, I do, but they're usually me hollering and telling you people just how bad it is. And then I get someone like, I don't know, Joe on here, who allows me to laugh, allows me to chuckle, allows me to smile. Joe, it was great having you here today. We've got to wrap it up. You will be back. I promise the audience, he will be back. We will have, but it'll be a little bit more political. It'll be a little bit less about his books and a little bit more about how he thinks about things.
Sounds
so thank
great.
You very much. Appreciate
thank you for
you,
having
Joe.
Me, Roger, and it was great meeting you too, Steve.
All right, Steve, we're done, and if you would like to bring the show out, please, just do me a favor next week. Steve, don't talk so much, okay?
Right. See everyone next week.
I wish you would have said more because you're actually pretty damn smart, Steve.
Okay. See everyone next week.